the week, our Reserve Bank Governor, Philip Lowe, gave a speech that was judged by the Financial Review to be quite out of character for a central banker. It was titled Trust and Prosperity. It was a thoughtful reflection on attitudes within our country, delivered at the annual CEDA dinner, the Committee for Economic Development of Australia. His timing was clearly related to the increasingly weighty Hayne Royal Commission hearings, which have obviously prompted Dr. Lowe to voice warnings against reaching for reforms that deter bankers from lending money, as well as a more subtle alert about generalised condemning of the institution of banking. Because in his words, trust in finance, improving living standards and public institutions was an essential building block of economic prosperity. How concerned should we be about these musings from the Reserve Bank chief? Well, joining me to discuss this is Chris Richardson, who's an economist very well recognised, I think, and partner with Deloitte Access Economics. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you.
I notice you're fresh from celebrating the 30th birthday of Access Economics, and you've been reflecting on changes over time, particularly to our economic conversation. So how important are these sorts of remarks?
Look, they are important. And the very first thing, you know, that they talk about, trust, we do tend to forget just how fundamental trust is. The currency of the future is not Bitcoin. The currency of the future is the currency of today and the currency of the past. It's trust. Money, you know, the very existence of money, we trust in the value in that money. Every time we drive a car, we trust that others will follow the rules of the road. Families are built on trust in all sorts of ways. The Reserve Bank governor is talking about it because society is talking about it. Yeah, and whether you're talking about the stories that have come out of the Royal Commission, the Banking Royal Commission, or a whole bunch of other things at the moment, we are increasingly less trusting of others. And maybe we should be, but there are costs involved in that too.
What was interesting is that he acknowledged there needed to be stiffer penalties for bankers who do the wrong thing. But then he added this rider, we need to be careful not to destroy the reputation of the institution because we need a functioning banking industry for economic growth and prosperity. Now, getting that quinella right, in a way he's belled the cat on that, hasn't he?
I guess one thing that's worried economists, if banks have done the wrong thing and the Royal Commission is shining a light on that, you don't want a new set of mistakes to be the result of that. And for example, at the moment, we are seeing banks dot every I, cross every T before they give a loan. That's slowed down loans. It's made them smaller. It's made it harder for some people who, you know, in some cases struggle a bit to get loans anyway. Small business is a good example, and the government's doing things there. Now, maybe banks needed to shift in that direction, but doing it right remains incredibly important. And in fixing one set of mistakes, we shouldn't initiate a new set as well.
Before we go into that, I wonder whether, in a way, it's a veiled appeal to Commissioner Hayne and his offsiders to be able to articulate the overall strength of the system while at the same time talking about the egregious errors. That was what I got from it, that he's appealing for someone to actually put words to how effective our system has been. Do you think I'm wrongly reading that?
No, and it's often part of my conversation with other people, and not just about banks. There are all sorts of institutions in Australia, around the world, under a lot of criticism, and often that criticism is entirely reasonable. But we forget that the problems are typically a tip of an iceberg, and that in all of these institutions, not just, again, the banking sector, there are a lot of people working very hard trying to do the right thing. So that sense of balance, we can and we should, we are outraged over the wrongs and some of the stories that have come to light in the Royal Commission. It doesn't change the fact that Australia and Australians, or more broadly when you're thinking about trust in institutions, the world is better off if we get it right rather than simply, feed the outrage, if you like.
Yes. I mean, he also talks about that due to flat wage growth around the world, combined with this lack of trust, he thinks it is leading into political changes like Brexit and, say, Trump's protectionist nationalism and sort of some overtones in Australia too. So, again, this is not where usually central bank governors tend to go. So he obviously thinks something is at stake that there's a risk that people say, you know, throw the lot out and start again.
Yeah, and that typically would be a tragedy. Whether you're talking about, so Dr. Phil heads up the Reserve Bank of Australia. Central banks are stunningly important, and where you can have trust in them. You know, we don't know because it's wallpaper to the average Australian or the average person around the world. Where you can have trust in them, we're much better off. Where you can't have trust in them, Venezuela, for example, an independent judiciary that does the right thing. In my line of work, economics, the institutions like the Productivity Commission, the ACCC, the Parliamentary Budget Office, or indeed departments such as Treasury.
Or even the Bureau of Statistics, I would have thought your statistics, you've got to believe that they are right.
Yeah, and we tend to forget just how fundamental trust is. A society is incredibly complex and we benefit from that complexity. But to hold that complexity together, you have to be able to trust what others are doing. Mm. There was a time in Greece where you didn't trust other people to pay their taxes. So you didn't pay your taxes. You know, why should I if everybody else is cheating? Mm. And that eventually blows up. I think of a beautiful city like Naples where trust in institutions has in many ways failed. And, you know, people don't, with a bit of rubbish, put it in a garbage can as they walk past. They will just drop it down. The trust in what others are doing and trying to do for you is incredibly important. And to an economist, and something that Phil Lowe pointed out in his speech, to an economist, one of the things wrong in the banking system were the incentives. We gave people money to sell, rather than sell correctly to do the right thing.
Look, finally, he says blatantly, we need banks to be prepared to make loans in the full expectation that some borrowers will not be able to pay them back, which is the nature of risk. After all, that's the sort of central nature of a risk in the financial system. Now, I know it's hard for you to predict what reforms the Hayne Commission might hand down, but are you picking up a nervousness that they might be quite draconian, which would put pressure on the governments?
Yes. Look, populism is winning here in Australia. It's winning all around the world. We are, as a nation, outraged, and we should be. But if we go in with the big stick, we throw out a lot of babies in that bathwater. Doing the right thing means leaving a banking system that's willing to take a risk. If it does that, then as citizens, we're all better off.
Chris Richardson, we will await. That February release of that full report will be really quite something. Thank you very much indeed.
Thanks.
Chris Richardson, economist and partner with Deloitte Access Economics, and we'll have, you know, just looking ahead, we'll have a full coverage of that. We're already starting to think about how we cover that in February, because that Hayne Royal Commission, as I've read, will change Australia in its own way. Best body contact sport going around at the moment, I saw one columnist say the other day.